First Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading with verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, and not thine own, but of the other. Pardon me. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Let's pray. Lord, you've been good to us. You've been merciful to us. We are richly blessed, and we're thankful. And Lord, we just ask you to take your word and help it to teach us and bless us, encourage us, and Lord, we pray it would turn all of us to thee. Give me wisdom and freedom, and help me to speak your word clearly. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, going back to verse 23, I'm going back to where I finished off last week. I think it was the last verse that I dealt with. But let's look at it again, because 23 goes with 24. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. You know, since Jesus died, paid the debt for the entire law, all things are lawful. We're not under that law. We're under the law of love to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Christ died and paid my debt, He paid my debt for every sin I ever committed or ever will commit. And He did it 2,000 years before I was born. Amen. And I entered into that. What a blessing that is. Amen. Now, we have a continual fight through Christianity over conscience and liberty. He said, I'm going to speak to wise men. You better be a wise man dealing with this right here, because it covers so many different things. First of all, it might be lawful, but it's not expedient. Now, what is something if it's expedient? It's, you expedite something. You put it through smoother. You put it through better. Doesn't have a lot of hindrances to it. So, it may be lawful, but it might not help things go smooth. That's right. It might not be a blessing to the church. It might not be a blessing to your family. So he said, it might be lawful, but it's not expedient. So we got to think about some of the things we do. Are they helping us or are they hindering us? If I've got the freedom to do this certain thing, and yet it hurts the church, or it hurts my family, or it hurts my kids, or it hurts some weak brother that's my friend and he's looking up to me, then that's really not what I ought to be doing, right? So though I am free from the law, free from all men, I have to put a curtailing upon my activities so that I don't damage my family, the church, or some weak believer. Now he also says, all things are lawful to me, but all things edify not. There are a lot of things that tear us down. I would imagine that so many movies on death and violence and rape and wickedness don't do us much good. We like to watch them, you know, they're sort of interesting and they make them dramatic and whatever, and boy, they're exciting, and these people go through things that nobody could go through. I used to think when the old, it may be too old for you, but there used to be a detective on TV called Mannix. And in every show, he gets knocked out by a gun on the back of the head. Now, you might do that once or twice, but every show, you know what's going to happen to you? You got a scrambled brain. And you might jump off a bridge onto a rolling bus somewhere down the line, but you're going to break both legs, dummy. You're not going to get up and run off after that, see? Some things don't build us up, and a lot of things in our imaginations and where we are. One reason why we got diabetics, and one reason why we got a lot more fat people, is we don't have to work. We're a generation that things are done by computers or machines. Or there was an old, in the town I was born in, Ocala, Texas, there was one Baptist church in it, and one of my uncles and another friend of his, with a saw and a hammer, built that thing. They walked to the place, and built, that church still standing. But they walked up there and built it. They didn't have a power tube. They didn't have a lot of things, and the church is still there. Now, they worked. Whether it's working in a garden or something like that, we don't even have to go outside. You go to air-conditioned HEB, get in your air-conditioned car, take the food back to your air-conditioned house, and watch television and eat. So some of our wonderful society is killing us. And I don't plan on giving all that stuff up. Just wanted you to know. I'm trying not to be a hypocrite about this, but we have other problems. We've got problems they didn't have 100 years ago. Isn't that right? And it is our abundance. You think of all the food that I can eat. I can eat fruit from Chile. And right down to HEB. You know when we're going to have trouble? When the trucks quit running. Half of you don't even know what a garden is, much less how to put one in. And then if you put one in, to keep it alive long enough to get any fruit out of it. Our lives have changed, and we're living in a certain thing. Now, some things do not edify. I'm not thinking, I love electricity, and I love power tools. Oh, what a blessing. Instead of everything all by hand, you know. But the truth of the matter is, it causes us other problems. And so, we have to decide what's going to build us up. Now, in a spiritual sense, you got a right to do a lot of things. But they're not going to build you up. How are you going to get built up as a Christian? You're going to read your Bible. You're going to pray. And you're going to go out and do something. You got to do something. You ought to have a ministry. You ought to have something that you do for the Lord. And one thing any of us could do, we could build up a weak brother. We could make friends with somebody who's a little bit behind. We don't have to have somebody that's going to help our social class, do we? There's all sorts of room out here for us to build up the church. And not only build up ourselves, but build up the church. Now, that's what he's talking about here. He's saying, even though I have this great freedom, and that is a wonderful thing, I'm not going to give up my freedom. I love the book of Galatians. And I may refer to it before I get through if I have time. But I'm not going to give up my freedom. I love my freedom. But I may have to curtail some things that I'm free to do in order to help myself, in order to help my family, in order to help my church, in order to help the Lord. And there's a verse on down in there we're going to a little later. It says, do everything to the glory of God. So my lawful things, I cannot afford. them to bring dishonor to God or to my neighbor or friend. So he says down here, and the reason why I went back over that is to set up for verse 24, let no man seek his own. Boy, that is contrary to America. When I was young and you were trying to get a job and you put in a, what do you call it? Application, resume. When I was young, and you can ask some of these older people around here, you better not go into a place bragging on yourself. They didn't want you coming in bragging on yourself. Now then, everything's pushing yourself. You got to push yourself or nobody pushes you, you know. He that tooteth not his own horn, it shall not be tooted. So we got a lot of horn tooters right today. Everybody's blowing their own horn. And by the way, what is it about America? Get it for yourself. You're number one. I don't care if you put somebody out of business, make a profit. You get yourself a retirement. You get yourself a big house. You get yourself a car. You get yourself so much money that you can just buy your kid at 16 a brand new car. I didn't even buy my kids a used car. They had to pay for every one they got. But self. You know what your biggest problem is today? Self. That's your biggest problem in sin. It's self. You want something for self. Or you want everything for self. And you're wondering, how can I live my life to make myself happier? How can I make myself richer? And yet what Paul is saying right here is just the opposite of that. He said, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That's a drastic statement. It was a drastic statement when it was made, but boy, right here in America today, how about the church today? All the churches. I'm just talking about our church, but Christianity, born-again Christianity, if you want to speak. Most of them are living for self. And most of them just cannot think of anything hardly except a pittance. Like a tip. Like just a little bit. You don't see anybody giving so much of themselves. And if they give, they make sure self's taken care of. Now, don't get me wrong. When you get old enough to get out of your father's house, why, you need to take care of yourself. You need to make enough money to pay your own bills. You need to make enough money to feed yourself. You need to make enough money to take care of your kids. And when you have kids coming along, you can't be a kid yourself anymore. You just simply have to stand up and take the responsibility and grow up. I don't care if you're 18 or 19 or 25. When those kids come on, you need to grow up. And kids make you think something different than yourself. Although, I really think when I give to my kids, I give to myself. Now, my kids may not think that way, but that's the way I think. And I think that we are responsible to put a curb on our liberty and our freedoms. Personally, you need to put a curb on your liberty and your freedom. You need to be sure that what you're doing is not bringing damage to somebody. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. You may feel perfectly good. You may feel perfectly justified. And the Lord may judge you for it when you walk up before Him. In fact, He might do it right here. We do have a father, and a father who spanks, by the way, not like many modern fathers. And I know you can get in all sorts of trouble. You can get in trouble for killing a dog or a horse. And you don't get in trouble for killing a baby. We live in a funny society. But look what he says here. Let no man seek his own. Let no man seek his own. But every man another's wealth. Talking about the spirit of Christianity, this ought to be the spirit of Christianity. Now, how far you take it will be individual case and your responsibility before the Lord. But I need to be thinking about somebody else besides me. I need to be thinking about somebody else besides my wife and my kids and my family and my job and even my country. One thing I love about missions, it puts a focus on somebody besides yourself. And I love the idea of sending preachers, not just tracts and papers, preachers of the gospel, to actually stand up and confront some people with the truth. You're worried about somebody else's wealth, that they might be saved. You're worried about them, that they might have a good home life. You're worried about them, that they would raise their children right. You need to be looking about somebody besides yourself. And the problem with most of us in America, we're all interested in self. It's what made America great. The covetousness of capitalism, and I am a capitalist. I think the best government is a kingdom with Jesus Christ as king. But until that comes, I would like a democracy like America. It's been built on what you can do for yourself. You can better yourself. You can be born in even a territory of the United States and be president of the United States. You can be born a black man that's a descendant of slaves and go to become one of the richest men in the country. Or a great general or something like that. That's America. Isn't that wonderful? It's got some tremendous advantages. It just is such a blessing. I love America. I'm a patriot. But it's built on your own greed and your own selfishness and your own covetousness and your own taking care of number one. And Christianity is built on God comes first before you. And others come next before you. And then you take what's left. Oh, it's quiet in here. That's all right. Now, he goes back to what the subject has been all along, is this problem of eating meat. Now, we don't really have this problem. It's not in our church. When we go down to HEB and we see this meat by USDA, we are not worried about some heathen temple where this thing was butchered. Now, in Guatemala, when I was there, the meat just be hanging out. And you'd have a flag out. If the guy butchered today, he put a red flag out. If he had his meat there and didn't have a red flag out, that's old meat. It was butchered a day or two before or something like that. The man lived next door to me, was the vice president of a bank. And he found out I had a freezer and that I could keep meat in it for 6 months. And he said, oh, it just disgusted him to think of eating meat that was 6 months old. He sent his wife into town every day to get where the red flag was. He wanted that fresh meat. And the idea of putting it in a freezer and bringing it out 6 months later just, man, blew him away. Now, they had the problem. Think about, we're in a society that still has an awful lot of Christian value. They're in our laws and they're in our customs. Even though this modern society is going against and against Christian values over and over as far as best it can, they're still around. They're still here. And we look at, lost my track, train of thought. Berlin, where was I? Christian values. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles. I don't have to worry because we don't have any temples in town slaughtering animals to a heathen god. So this disappeared. But it was real in Paul's day. I know what it was. You got so few Christians in Corinth. You know, they're just starting churches. They got this place they preach, another place they preach, and they preach out in the open air and whatever, and they got a few believers. And they're trying to win other people. And of course, they're doing a great job of it, much better than we are at the present time. But they're the real small minority. You and I are not in that position. And we don't have this thing as a problem. Somebody's not going to look down on us because we went to HEB. Well, they might. Or because we went to Walmart or whatever. I've had people in the church protesting different people for various reasons. And you can get in trouble just going to the grocery store for them. I've been in trouble every way you can be in trouble. Understand? Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Now, Paul is helping them out. Some of these people say, man, what do I do? What do I do? That's one of your biggest problems. You need wisdom sometimes because you may not know how to apply the scripture in your life on a given day. You need wisdom. He said, here's what you can do. Now, the shambles is their market. And I know we, some of our flea markets, what we call a flea market, are somewhat similar to what you'd find in a lot of foreign countries. But you just go down there, and here's a row and all of these meats, and that's one row. And you got the hawkers trying to sell you theirs, and you walk by the others and whatever. And you and I don't face that. But they did. And they were new Christians, maybe right out of paganism, maybe right out of that very same temple area. And they say, what do I do? I can't eat meat unless I eat meat that's been sacrificed to some heathen god. And so he's telling them. And here's his answer. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Remember when Peter was on the roof of that house? God gave him a vision. Gave him all these animals and said, rise, Peter, slay and eat. No, I'm a good Jew. I have never tasted stuff like that. He said, don't you call unclean what God hath cleansed. Now that means God's cleansed it. So here we are. We're out at the market. And you've got a conscience in you that says, I don't want to have anything more to do with idolatry. I'm now a born-again believer. I want to give a right testimony to these people that are here. I want to give a right testimony to my family. What can I do? I don't want anything more to do with idolatry. He said, once it's out here in the shambles, it's just the abundance of God. You can eat it. Don't let your conscience be bothered by that. It's just meat. It's not going to defile you in any way. Okay, now notice verse 26. This is Psalm 24:1. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. David wrote it, and it's in this chapter two times. What does that mean? For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know what he's telling them? All that food's from God. I think Billy said one time that there's no artificial food. Yes, right. Everything that works here had to be created by God. Now, we may mess it up and mix it up and do all sorts of things to it because we like it a little better or whatever. But there's no artificial food out there. But everything he's got, you're welcome to. Now, personally, I don't think I would have fun eating grubs. I've seen people eat scorpions. I've eaten rattlesnake. And deer. And some of you might choke on a dog. There are a lot of people who eat dogs. That's the truth. Hey, it's food. God made it and you can use it. Now, you may not like it, and I'm terrible. See, I'm terrible this way. I am such a finicky eater. I like beef, beans, and potatoes. All that green stuff, I don't particularly care for. And that may be one of my many problems. But God said it's all good. And if you go back and look what the Indians ate, well, they ate a whole lot of stuff on my place out there that I wouldn't think of it. And in fact, if I were eating the berries off of my place, I'd get the poison ones. And you would too. Right now, most of you are not enough Daniel Boone to go out there and know which ones are eatable. But the people did know for a period of time. And they could eat roots and they could eat other things. He said, the earth is the Lord's. Now come on. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. I don't think I've got the grasp of that. That's big. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Hey, he's given it all to you abundantly. He's given it all to you that you might enjoy. You're welcome to enjoy any of it and all of it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he's given it to you for food. All right, so there's an abundance out there. And you can eat it. You don't have to worry about your conscience anymore. Now, look at verse 27. Here's one of their problems. If any of them that believe not, unbeliever, pagan, bids you to a feast, not in the temple, but at his house or out of the park, garden, bids you to a feast, you'd be disposed to go. You would like to go because you're friendly with this person, even though they're not saved. Whatsoever is set before you eat. Now here it is again. It's not just in the market. Somebody invites you over to their house. And they don't have your Christian convictions. They may not even believe there's a God. And they set things before you that you say, "Woo, that's not good. That's not right. Whatever." He said, no. Whatever they set before you eat. Went to the mission field. Like I said, I'm finicky. I like things well done. Don't give me eggs with a white running. Amen. You know. Don't give me meat with the blood still flowing. That's right. I want that sucker brown. Yes. Burn it on the outside. Run it by and burn it. And then I love it. But there are a lot of people with a lot of other things. And you know what? I have sat down and eaten meals that would gag a maggot. I don't like squid and little octopuses. I don't even like shrimp. That's bait to me. I don't eat shrimp. I use shrimp for bait. Now my wife, she even drinks coffee. I don't even cuss, much less drink coffee. They bid you to go to a feast, and you be disposed to go. Whatever is set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. You don't have to worry about God getting mad at you because you eat something. Jesus tells you it's not that which goes into your mouth. It's what comes out of your mouth. You're not in trouble because you ate the wrong thing. You're in trouble what comes out.
That's right. Amen.
Now, some of you might want to use that for beer and liquor. Hey, I got you now, Brother Kincaid. Not that which goes into the mouth. Man, I can drink my beer and I can drink my wine. Well, is it going to make other things come out of your mouth? It's going to make you do something that you shouldn't be doing. Well, I'm a teetotaler. You know what that is? Tea's the strongest thing I drink. Like I said, don't even drink coffee. But I don't drink alcohol. Not because I don't think it tastes good, or not because I've never tried it. I don't drink it because I don't want to be one-tenth drunk. I don't want to ruin my testimony. And I know that if I can't control my desire for food, and I don't very well, neither do most of you, even you skinny people. I had a good friend. We once fasted together. We both lost 5 pounds. I put it back on in 2 weeks and it took him a year. And he out-ate me at every meal. He didn't have any fat on him. He just had a hollow leg. He just ate and he went down that hollow leg and he never put it on, but you know what I mean. So I can eat anything set before me at a table, and I ought to, so that I don't hurt people's feelings. And my kids are very good. They were on the mission field for 3 years. And I tell them, we walked into a lot of houses. We ate a lot of different things, and it just, some of it didn't look good, some of it didn't smell good, some of it didn't taste good. I'd say, don't you turn up your nose. Don't you sneer. Don't you say, yeah, I don't like this. And they did. Bless their hearts. I don't know how many times they choked and spit up after they got out, but they were very good that way. They didn't cause a testimony to go bad because they wouldn't put up with something. Whatever's set before you, you can eat. You can eat. And you ought to. Now, he's talking about the conscience here and how this would apply today is that some things you can do to hurt yourself with your testimony. And you ought to be very careful about your testimony. That's one of the most valuable things you have. Do you know that?
Amen.
If somebody knows you as somebody who doesn't come through, is that a good testimony? No. You ought to be somebody, if you give your word's good. You ought to be somebody that people could count on. If you make them a promise, they ought to be able to count on your word. Your word ought to be good. You ought to work to try to make your word always good. Any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not. Uh-oh. For his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There it is again. Hey, some brother comes along and says, hey, you shouldn't be eating that. Why? Well, that's the meat that was offered to Dinah the Ephesians this morning, or Baal, or whoever. And he said, you're supposed to back off, eat not, for conscience, not my own conscience, but the weak brother that's with me that's going to get hurt if he sees me eat this. And then he asked, look at the next verse, why? For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? If I give thanks for it, how come I'm being picked on? How come somebody is criticizing me because I'm eating something I gave thanks for? Why should I be worried about another man's conscience? Well, it goes back to that same verse that we looked at before. Self. Whose wealth are you looking out for? You're looking out for your meal? Well, me, I like the meat. Are you looking out for you? Well, he said the earth's the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You got a lot of stuff to eat. Probably even at this one dinner, you got a lot of things you can eat. You don't have to eat that meat. So what he's saying, he's giving something. And by the way, it's not a law-like thing. You would have a real hard time making laws out of this. Without, you know, really getting some people in trouble and doing the wrong thing the wrong way. This is a judgment call. Where you and make a judgment call on your own liberty. It's not to go around and tell everybody else, you got to do what I do. I decided not to do this. You can't do this. No, that's not it. It's a personal judgment call that you don't want to hurt somebody who has a weak conscience. Now again, I want to remind you, that has nothing to do with a lot of hard heads that are just old solid believers and they've got some convictions and you got to wear a tie to come in here, and if you don't wear a tie, you're not a good Christian.
Right.
You know, you don't have to pay attention to them.
Right.
You're not going to hurt them.
That's right.
I'm not a weak conscience.
Yes, right.
You're not going to hurt me. If you decided to leave tomorrow and publish bad things about me for the rest of your life, it probably wouldn't keep me from coming to church one service. I'm an old hardhead. Some of the people in this room are old hardheads. You're not worried about them. You may not please them. They may not be satisfied. And you may listen to their counsel or to their judgment, and they may be right. But as far as this conscience thing, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a weak believer, a new believer. He's talking about an alcoholic, and you're giving him drink. You need to think about somebody else. And that's one of our biggest problems, not just in the church, everywhere. Everywhere. It's all about self. All right, let me see where I was. Okay, conscience not thine own. Why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Good reasoning. Amen. Why am I judged of your conscience? Well, the only thing I can say is the love of God in your heart for another believer. Your own conscience to think, I don't want to hurt him or her. And boy, that's important. Now, look at verse 31. What a tremendous verse. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You reckon that would work? That would work. Hey, you having a problem how to figure this out? Will it bring glory to God? What that you do or don't do will bring glory to God. That's the answer for the whole chapter. That's the answer for this whole book. Did you know that? That's a tremendous statement, because that's the reason why you have this book, is for God's glory. The reason why you're saved is for God's glory. The reason why Jesus Christ came is for God's glory. The reason why they preach on the streets and preach at the rescue mission and teach Sunday school classes and have home Bible studies and everything should be for the glory of God. So while you eat or you drink, you need to think about the glory of God. Is this going to bring dishonor to the Lord? I don't care if it's what you want. What you want makes very little difference. You know, you're not going to get much of what you want in life. That's true. You're not going to, I haven't got much of what I wanted and what I planned. I got what God gave me in other ways. And you are too. You're going to find out, you think, I'm going to go through, I love these ads for college. I'm going to college and I'm going to have this wonderful life. Maybe. There's a lot of people who went to college and didn't have such a wonderful life. And I know this little fat grandma. She said, now I'm going to be around to see my grandchildren. Maybe. If an 18-wheeler doesn't T-bone you tonight. You don't have any control over tomorrow. You better live for the glory of God, because you're closer to Him than you think. And that's the answer to the whole Bible. That's the answer to your life. Do you ever put that in? Will you ever plug that in to the equation of your daily life? The glory of God. Do I live at all for the glory of God? Do I ever even think about the glory of God? Well, you ought to be. Because you said, whatsoever you do, whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, anything, every bit of it ought to be for the glory of God. Now, most of us do not think of anything but what I want, what I expect. I expect this. I want this. In marriages, what's the problem? Misexpectations. Uneven expectations. I'm not getting what I want. No, bless your heart, Verlene has not given me what I want all the time. She's a hard-headed woman. I know. I've been married to her 56 years as of yesterday. Dated her for 2 years before that. That means I've been putting up with her for 58 years. You don't get a lot of things you want. Wake up. Grow up. Life isn't about what you want. Life is responding to what God gives you. Now, I want you to plan for yourself. I want you to get all the education you can get. I want you to live in the best house you can live in, drive the best car you can drive, have air conditioning on everything. But as a Christian, I want you to think a little bit about the glory of God and somebody else besides you. You're not the important one. And when you get it out of your head, you'll be a whole lot better off. If you don't have expectations that are so great, great expectations of your wife or of your husband or even of your children. Man, the expectations some parents put on their children. They don't even get a chance to play. Or if they play, I mean, you got this kid, he's 6 years old, and you're training him like he's a professional. Don't ever get to decide to go out and play marbles or something. You don't guess anybody plays marbles anymore. All right, whatsoever you do, do it to the glory of God. Look at verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Well, now, the first thing I want to say to you and show you, here is a verse that defines the world. You know what the world's made up of? Jews, Gentiles, the church of God, and they're all exclusive. If you're a Jew, you're not a Gentile. If you're a Gentile, you're not a Jew. And by the way, when you came into the church of God, you're no longer Jew or Gentile. You're the church of the living God. That's your three distinctions in the world. And you got it right here in Scripture for you. Jew, Gentile, and Church of God. Now, most of my early ministry was in evangelism. I didn't worry about what kind of church it was. I didn't care about what church doctrine was there. I didn't care. Just let me preach. I'd have preached at St. Peter's Basilica if it let me. Just let me preach. But when I went to Guatemala, and I began building churches, not only evangelizing. Evangelism was still my number one thing. But here I began building churches and starting to train some people what a church had to be. Then I became more of a teacher. And church truth became very important. And it is important to me. It's not that important to most people. Maybe to most of you. You can quit me tomorrow and go down the road and they can have a complete different program and you say, I'm as happy as a lark. Have no clue what the Scripture says. He says, give none offense. How are you going to do that and preach the truth? Hey, wise men. We need some wise men. We need wise men. You know what? That's not what he's talking about. Paul, do you think Paul ever backed off a doctrine? I can read you Scripture. I'm not going to have time, but I can read you Scripture. Paul said, I didn't put up with it for an hour. He said, I stood Peter face to face for he was to be blamed. Do you think that hurt somebody's feelings? Well, I bet it hurt old Peter. Old Peter said, oh, man, what are you doing, Paul? How come you're doing it in front of everybody? And Barnabas the same way. He picked on Barnabas. Was he offending the church? Well, of course. He was offending somebody in the church. You know what? I think that the way, my little bit of wisdom, he's talking about you need to be polite. You need to, I never went in anybody's home witnessing to them and start picking on all the idols on the walls. Well, you got this here and this here and this here. But when I stand up in this pulpit, I'll tell you, Mary can't help you. Mariolatry is idolatry. But when I went into homes, I went and said, why, you got a wife? That's such a nice couch. And aren't your children just lovely? With snot hanging all over me, you know. And your dogs are so lovely. 5 dogs on my lap right now. That's not a joke. That's the truth. But you try to be polite. Why? I'm in their house. I'm not wanting to leave that house Where the next fellow that comes down, if I don't win him, he's already shortchanged. He's already shot because I offended them so badly. So he's saying, don't give offense. He's not saying, don't preach good doctrine. Let me tell you what. Every doctrine of Christianity is offensive to people in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
The name of Jesus is offensive in this world. Do you know that?
That's right.
You can brag on anybody. You can say anything until you say Jesus. Boy, they rise up on that one. Give none offense, neither the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor the church of God. Now look at verse 33. Even as I please all men in all things. Paul pleases all men in all things. I've read all his letters. He sure got a bunch of people mad at him. He sure got a bunch of people offended. He sure has stood up even to Peter and James and anybody else. What's he trying to say here? When you're trying to win people to Christ, you go in there and you don't try to be offensive.
Right.
If the place smells bad, just block your nose.
Yeah.
If they haven't swept the floor in a month, don't gag and throw up. Just witness to them anyway. Just keep on. What your purpose is to win them to the Lord.
Amen.
And so he says, I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit. There it is again, not self.
Right.
I'm not seeking my own profit. Not even that I've won so many souls. Oh boy, I won 5 souls this month. I won. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. An old drunk came up to D.L. Moody one day on the streets of Chicago and, Brother Moody, I'm one of your converts. He said, you look about like somebody I'd convert. You need to have God doing the conversions.
Yeah, right.
All right, that they may be saved. You use some politeness. That does not mean that when you're teaching the church, and that's what we do Sunday morning, we teach the church. We do also do evangelism. But evangelism should be done outside the church, and the church ought to be taught inside the church.
That's right, amen. That's true.
That doesn't mean you can't put evangelism in everything. It ought to be in everything.
Right.
But the church is for the building up of the body of Christ.
Yes, amen.
And you have to tell people, Mary can't answer your prayers. You got to tell them Mary was a sinner.
Yes.
You got to tell them that Saint Agnes and Saint John and Saint somebody else not going to help you at all.
That's right. Amen.
And by the way, Jesus loves you more than Mary ever did.
That's right. Amen.
Do you know what that does? That offends.
That's right.
That offends. You cannot take the offense out of the gospel. Paul was talking to some people who did certain things so that they would remove the offense of the gospel. But the gospel is offensive.
That's right.
It tells you you're a sinner.
Yeah.
It tells you you have no hope.
That's right.
It tells you you cannot be good enough to make it. You cannot keep the law. You are a wretched sinner bound for hell. But the good news of the gospel is Jesus knows that and died for you, paid your debt on Calvary's cross, wiped out all your sin, removed them from you as far as the east is from the west, buried them in the depths of the sea to be remembered against you no more. And if you'll come to Jesus, you can be saved for all eternity.
Amen.
That offends people. I've had to defend people. I had a student teacher. I don't know exactly what you call them now, but they have to do practice teaching with a regular teacher before they give them their class. And I had 11 of them in my time. And this is one of the best ones. Oh, she was a crackerjack teacher. She's just coming right out of college and 22 years old or something like that. But man, she handled herself well and she handled the class well. I didn't have to do anything. And I witnessed to her. And she says, I'm a good girl. I don't need the gospel. I never won her. And I never got away from being good.
Yeah.
But she was fornicating with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
I'd count that bad. Yeah. But she said, I don't need the gospel. I don't need anybody to pay for my sins. You know what she had? She had a drunk Christian father.
Yeah.
And she didn't think she needed what he had. Well, I had some other things I could go on, but my time's up.